Good morning, class.
Morning, Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger. Don't you like the sound of that?
Yes.
And where I learn how to be an overcomer. We're not overwhelmed. We overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That means you win.
Yes.
If you overcome, then you're not in bondage to it. You're not defeated by it. You overcome. And the Lord has overcome the enemy and all his works. And the enemy, even though he's operating as an outlaw, he is a defeated foe. And for those that know it, and those that will stand up in the authority of Christ's name and resist him, he's got no choice but to flee.
Amen.
From those who do. Sadly, much of the church does not know that they have authority or that they don't have to allow the work of the enemy. And sadly, much of the church believes that everything the devil is doing is somehow God doing it. But thank God we're not ignorant.
Amen.
Of Satan's devices and tricks and issues. The truth will make you free.
Amen.
Father, we are so glad for the truth. We're so glad for you. We're so thankful for the light that we have. And we seek more to rise up higher and go further in every good thing and to be able to receive the fullness of the blessing of the gospel and the fullness of the blessing that you have given Abraham and the seed of Abraham, which we are. We ask for the utterance, the direction, the anointing, the grace, the answers, the help for now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud, and I mean, when I say everybody, I'm looking at you through the camera now. Everybody said out loud, I'm getting answers today.
I'm getting answers today.
I'm getting help today.
I'm getting help today.
I'm becoming stronger today.
I'm becoming stronger today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
See, that's how faith talks.
Yes.
Faith even calls those things that be not yet
right. As
though they already were. So the scripture said, let the weak say, I might get strong one of these days. No, I am strong. Go ahead, somebody say, I am strong.
I am strong.
I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
And in the power of His might.
And in the power of His might.
Praise God. Well, we've been giving one by one 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we're down to reason number 18 in our study, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Look in Galatians 3, if you would, again. Galatians 3 and 9. It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So you begin to see why we talk so much about faith. Those that are of faith live in the blessing. Living by faith is living in the blessing. And if you knew it, you'd say, tell me some more.
Yes.
Right? Because more faith is going to result in
more blessing.
Not that you're qualifying for it or earning it. It's just you're learning how to not fight it, but yield to it. And allow it to have full place in your life. In verse 13, he said, Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, this is a redemptive reality. It's a past tense accomplishment with present tense results.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And future assured.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
This is not something Jesus is working on.
Thank you, Jesus.
He did it. He became sin with our sin. He became accursed for us. He was judged in our place. And after 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, justice was satisfied. Now that time frame, we do not know what fully happened in all of that, but there reached a point where the Father, who is the righteous judge of all the earth, he said, that's enough. I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And then he spoke from the throne. You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Hallelujah. And Jesus was raised from the dead, free from sin. Free from our sin. Yes. Hallelujah. Which means our sin doesn't need to be taken care of. It has already been taken care of. Past tense accomplished.
Yes.
Present tense results is what? I'm redeemed and blessed. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's where it happened, as he was hanging on the cross. That the blessing of Abraham, just our sins being paid and judgment falling on them and him being made cursed, that was not the end. That was not the whole thing. That was done. That had to be done or we'd be lost, but it was done so that something else could happen. Yes. Right?
Yes.
So that we could be made right, made just, made clean, made holy, born again,
hallelujah,
sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Kings and priests.
Yes.
Washed by the blood.
Blessed ones.
Blessed ones. You lost the curse.
Amen.
You got the blessing.
Amen.
Best deal you ever made and ever will make. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How?
Through faith.
Through faith. It's all faith. Faith. Faith, faith, which is why we have faith school.
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. We looked at Leviticus 26. We looked at Deuteronomy 28. And we saw in detail different parts of the blessing and different parts of the curse. Now, if you weren't with us for those, you need to know this. If you don't know what the curse of the law is, you don't know what you've been redeemed from. That puts you at a real disadvantage. And if the enemy tries to put something on you or work something against you that he has no right to, you wouldn't even know it. And many people are just letting it happen. But if you'll resist it, he'll have to leave you. Because he knows you've been redeemed whether you know it or not. So we need to know it. And go back. Go online, I should say, to faithschool.org, faithschool.org, and all those previous lessons are there, including us going over it. And what we saw is that the curse is the opposite of the blessing. He used the exact same phrases, blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, only above, not beneath, the head, not the tail. You lend, you don't need to borrow. But the curse, the exact same phrases, only now, cursed when you go out.
Yeah.
Cursed when you come back in. Cursed in your basket. Cursed in your store. You'll only be beneath and you won't be on top. You'll be the tail. You won't be the head. You'll have to borrow. You won't be able to lend. You won't have the resources. And he goes into detail about in the curse includes drought, famine, pestilence and your crops being destroyed and disease going through your flocks and your herds. And we mentioned this and I want to say it again. Farmers, If you're a believer, you're redeemed from the curse.
Yes.
And everything that you have and everything that belongs to you does not have to experience the curse of the law. It's not supposed to experience the curse of the law. If it's the curse, it can never be God's will for you.
Amen.
Or for yours.
Amen.
Do not, you know, you got good people that they're saved, they believe in Jesus, they love God, but they, you know, drought will just wipe out their crops, a disease will just run through their herd and take their profit, and they'll say, well, I guess God's working something out. No, that's not God. That is not God. You want to resist that. You want to speak against it. And one of the most important things you can do is believe what we're talking about. Spend some time in this with us until you get it settled that you are redeemed.
Yes.
And that the blessing belongs to you.
Yes.
The blessing of God made Abraham the most successful herdsman,
yes,
flock owner.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Crop worker. Of anybody in that region, he did not lose his livestock. His livestock multiplied. Hallelujah. Into huge amounts. He didn't lose his reserves. He didn't lose his wheat and his corn and all these things. Farmer, brother, sister, rancher, listen to me. Get it in your mouth. No matter what's going on, no matter what's going on around you, you declare it and you say, I'm redeemed from the curse. My herd is blessed. You say it no matter what you're seeing or hearing or feeling. My crop is blessed. My acreage, my planting is blessed. My harvest is blessed. You most need to say it when it doesn't look like it or when it doesn't feel like it. And you declare, you don't say, well, we just never know. We hope we don't have drought again. No, you say, blessing belongs to me. Rain is part of the blessing of the covenant. It's right there in the verses. Drought is part of the curse. So the curse, drought cannot be God's will for a believer farmer. A believer rancher could never be the will of God. Don't agree with your enemy. Don't agree with the way unbelievers talk about over their farms and their ranches. You only say what God tells you to say. My cows are blessed. My sheep are blessed. My goats are blessed. My soybeans are blessed. My cotton is blessed. My wheat is
blessed.
I think you're catching on. Huh? And you say that over everything. My kids, my children are blessed.
Yes.
My grandchildren are blessed.
Yes.
My body is blessed.
Yes.
My house is blessed.
Yes.
My tractor is blessed.
Yes.
I said, my tractor? Yes.
Yes.
Your tractor runs like a sewing machine and lasts longer than any tractor should and no problems and doesn't break down like others do. I'm telling you. Did God or did he not bless his people so that their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out? That's the power of the blessing. And see, that kind of stuff, when you have to buy new equipment before it's time, that cuts into your profit. That cuts into your increase. That messes with your bottom line. No, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. People say, well, you know, how you thinking you're going to come out on your crop this year? You go, man, watch out. We're going to have, right? Big crop. We're going to have some yields. We're going to make the front page of Farmer Quarterly. Is that right? We'll be standing out there by our tractor. Look at what happened with the Smith Farm, the Russell Farm, right? The Russell Ranch, whatever it may be. Now, you're laughing, but I'm as serious as I can be. Watch your words. Watch your thoughts, your heart. Get these words in your heart and mouth. He said in Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Which one are we? Which one are we, the wicked or the just? Now, we're not just because of our perfect performance. We've been justified, right? Because of the redemptive work of Jesus. He has justified us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the fact remains, the result is we're the just.
Amen.
So what do we have in our house? The blessing. Should we expect the curse in the habitation of the just? That's not what this scripture says. So no. Now notice, and go over to the 26th chapter of Proverbs. It's not too many pages past. Proverbs 26 and 2. Proverbs 26, 2 says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now let's come back to some basics. If the curse is nothing, superstition, and the blessing is just some made up something, would the Bible be talking about it like this? The curse is real. And the blessing is real. But here he tells us a great truth about the curse. It will not come without cause. What's the cause of the curse? Listen to other translations of this. And, well, I didn't finish reading it. Verse 3 goes with this. Let me read verse 2 again. As the bird by wandering, the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass or donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. The rod is that which the guilty was beaten with. The rod. And the rod is not for the innocent. The rod is not for the obedient. The rod is for the guilty, the evildoer. And so that's why these two go together. The curse is the rod. Now, and listen to these other translations. The New King James says, like a flitting sparrow and like a flying swallow, a curse without cause shall not alight. It won't light like a bird. The NET, like a fluttering bird or a flying swallow, a curse without cause does not come to rest. Can you take another couple of these? The Berean says, well, I looked them up. You know, you might as well. Let's use them, right? Like a fluttering sparrow and darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. The Amplified says, the curse without cause does not come and alight. The Good News says it like this: curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. They're like birds that fly by but never light. This paints a picture, doesn't it? Have you ever seen birds flying around like that? And what he's saying is they're flying over here, flying over there, but they, especially if there's not a place for them to light. It's just the side of a wall or some thing, but it's not something they can get their feet on and light. Well, that's what he's saying. The curse is here, but it's got to have a place to light. Oh, are y'all with me?
Yes.
It requires a place to land. The curse is in the earth working all the time. And it depends on if there's a connecting point to it. We need to understand, God is not today, let's say, examining all the millions and billions of situations and making individual decisions on all of them in real time. That's not necessary. He knows more than that. He sees further than that. He speaks things that go into activity and they work forever.
Yeah.
Huh? And you either work with them or you don't. Right? And if you do what he tells you, they'll work for you. And if you ignore him, they'll work against you. Right? But it's not him deciding every day, oh, you're blessed today. Oh, no, you're cursed today. Oh, no. No. The blessing is working in the earth. On believers. On those that give it a place to manifest and attach. And the curse is through, it's here. It's everywhere, and it's like a bird looking for somewhere to land. And if you get mouthy and attitude with God, the curse goes, oh, I can land there. And if you yield to fear and doubt and fuss and cuss and won't agree with God and deny his existence and all that stuff, then the curse has found a home. It's your house. Can you see that? No. But for believers, the blessing of the Lord is in the habitation of the just. And for those that hear, and those that heed, and those that trust, and those that obey, and those that live and walk by faith, and walk in love and forgive. Right?
Yes.
And receive forgiveness, and those that follow the leading of the Spirit. And when he says go, they go. When he says stop, they stop. When he says stay, they stay. The blessing has a home with them and everything they are and everything they own. I mean, when they go out, when they come in, when everything they put their hand to. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And I assure you, you will never get tired of the blessing. You will never. You never met somebody that's too blessed. They're just like, man, I'm too blessed. I got to back off of it a little bit. No, no, no. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, your next thought is more please, more please. And the thing is, it's not just about you accumulating and accruing for yourself. One of the great benefits of blessing, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But you got to have something to give, right? So no, the blessings, work as it continues to build in you is to make you a conduit of blessing. That blessing flows to you and through you to others, and that when you come to town, blessing came to town.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And people will come to be glad to see you when you come, because they think, oh, you know, they're a giver. They're a blesser. They got something good for us. They're going to help us. They're going to join us. Thank God for the blessing.
Amen.
The blessing, the curse causeless, shall not come. It shall not rest. Go with me to Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and see this as well. Numbers 22. Now, what happened here is that Balak, a king, tried to hire Balaam, who was a spiritist, a prophet of sorts. He had problems. But the Bible calls him a prophet. But hired him to curse God's people. In 22 and 11, for time's sake, we'll just read part of it. Balaam was hired by Balak, the king of Moab. And he said, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt that covers the face of the earth. Well, that was the Israelites that God had delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And there were, 2-3 million of them. So yeah, you looked at it from a vantage point and saw all of them. You're like, ooh, it's a big crowd. And the king was really concerned that they were going to come defeat him. And they were right at his land, at his property. And he said, come and curse me them Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. He's willing to pay Balaam huge amounts of money, literally a king's ransom, and even told him, name your price. You know, what you want? You want a house full of silver? Full of gold? What do you want? Now, you don't do this and willing to pay this for superstition. Because what he had said prior to this, he said, come, I'll pay you anything because I have seen and I know that whoever you curse is cursed. Yes. And whoever you bless is blessed. So come, curse me these people. So cursing is real. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and if you hear that, you go, ooh, what if some witch or somebody, some this or that or sorcerer try to curse me? Are you a believer?
Yes.
Then you need to read the next verse. God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then if you go over to 23 in the 8th verse, they kept trying to get him to curse him. He said, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom God has not defied? And skip down, what is 20, I think it is. He said, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. 23, there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. None. Did you know that now we are the seed of Abraham?
Yes.
And we're even called the Israel of God? That means there is no cursing us.
Yes.
You cannot curse whom God has blessed. Now, if you're superstitious and you're scared of somebody putting the hoodoo and the vex on you, well, then that fear will open the door. But believe what the Bible said. Believe that God is bigger than anything and everybody. Somebody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And you cannot curse me. Glory to God. And our time's up. Come back tomorrow. We're going to shout some more about this in Faith School.
I've got the victory.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.